It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And so, yeah, the doctor says basically that's going to happen every time I go to the bathroom for the next 6 months. And I just have to deal with it.
Why are you telling me this?
Because Trish is tired of hearing about it. That's why I tell you most things.
Well, fortunately, I'll forget all about it.
Speaking of which, did you see...
In just seconds, probably.
This is my birthday present that's just under 2 months late. From Trish.
It's very cool.
She made it.
She made it?
Yes. For those at home, this is kind of an elaborate band of copper chainmail as a bracelet that I'm wearing. She didn't, like, design it. Like, there was a kit, basically, you could order, and then you would make it. But, I mean, it just came as a bunch of rings and stuff, and she did the whole thing, yeah. And she really enjoyed it. She may consider making more chainmail, which is cool, because I like the idea, too. I might want to do it.
So very neat.
Yeah. She's working on another piece. It's not chainmail, but it's also for me. I don't know about what that is. Ezzy's really happy to see you.
Yeah, what is that about?
I don't know. Maybe your jeans smell interesting. Have your shins been anywhere with odd smells lately? Somebody else with pets? Or
no.
Walking out in tall grass or something?
No.
I don't know. She is a lunatic, so... Maybe, actually, it could just be in general, you're outside in the spring weather, and so just like pollen and stuff, is because you're outside, because I immediately changed into indoor clothes. So. I don't know, you smell interesting. I've always felt that. Hello, everyone. Remember, we're doing a podcast. welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world that is a sober East German judge to the 1980 Olympics that is the rest of the world. I am Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 262.
And
our fifth anniversary.
To the day, to the people. Day. 5 years ago today, back when Obama was president. Wait. I was trying to think about that. I'm like, what's different other than a minor increase in quality in our show? What in the world is different from 5 years ago? People were slightly less confident in their ability to make 9/11 jokes. Just slightly.
Well, we're kind of making a big deal out of it because, you know, well, our show is every Thursday, which means it's not often that we have a show that is on the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day, which is when we started. So 5 years
and
later...
And by not often, he means just this time.
Yeah, this is only the second time we've had a broadcast. But yeah, it's kind
like
of a...
not often.
But you know,
yeah,
usually when we celebrate our anniversary, it's not on the day. Because it you know, it's going to be 2 days from now, or it's 2 days ago, and now it's on the day. That's
you know,
cool.
We get excited every time Halloween is, like, has that even happened?
I don't know. Oh,
that Halloween fell on a Thursday?
I think.
But I think, like, trick-or-treating day moves to the next day or something. Because I don't, I feel like I would really remember a time where we're recording the episode broken up occasionally by little children coming to the door and demanding treats. I feel like I would have remembered that.
Yeah,
I think that would have been hell of a show.
5 years ago, today. That's actually a good question. What?
I know, I've been thinking about it all week. I have incredibly little.
I mean, a lot of things have
happened.
People
still believed in the Mayan apocalypse.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I pointed out a few shows ago that that it's only been 4 years since you met Dave. You know, so
I had not met Dave when this...
Yeah.
Wow.
So you didn't know Dave yet.
Wow.
In fact, it was a whole year before. Well, not maybe a whole year, but maybe it was a whole year, over a year. I don't remember now.
I was just a little ways away from only being 6 years... No, 7 years married to the producer.
I guess... I mean, everyone that listens other than Jazz and Mark, I didn't even know any of those people.
Really? None of them?
I don't think so.
Well, Coffee and Neuroduck were not around at all. They weren't even a glimmer in the world at that point. I know you guys existed. I'm not that solipsistic, but I mean, it within my sphere. I met Coffee much later. And then Neuroduck much later than that, so... yeah, so they didn't exist. We still knew where Blood Sparrow was back then.
Yeah. Yeah,
Mark.
I just met her.
Jazz wasn't there at the beginning, was she? Or maybe was she just not talking?
Yeah, she wasn't posting very much.
Because I remember at the first episode, we got like 30 listeners.
Hmm.
Second episode, it was down to like 12.
Oh.
I think somewhere around 4 or 5, we had like less than 10. It was very, very small. There were a lot of people who were excited enough to figure out how to listen to an episode of a podcast, but a lot of those people did not have the proper disposition for regular podcast listening. And so in the beginning, actually, we got a lot of Happy Jacks listeners who hung out on the forums with me, because I was still listening to Happy Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told them over there, and all of those guys, by default, are used to listening to a periodic podcast. And that's where we got... At this point, the only remaining Happy Jacks folks that I remember are Azure Talon, of course. Azure Talon came from there. And Craig, actually. Craig is originally a Happy Jacks guy.
Sergito's not?
Oh, Sergito, yeah. We did hear from him just a little while ago, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
So he is around. We should hear you on the blog, Sergito. Talk with Jazz about whatever she and William are talking about. Somebody break in there is what I'm saying. No, Sergito is also from Happy Jacks. I'm sure I'm missing somebody else who's currently listening. I keep wanting to put Stu there because he would have liked it, but no, he was not there. If you were a Happy Jacks listener back then and are still listening, let me know. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us. By the way, I should probably tell you how this show works,
yeah,
since we haven't done that. It's worked for 5 years.
5 years. Every Thursday.
Ezzy was technically alive then.
Every single
Thursday. In fact, I think she lived at our house by then.
Okay. Well, I mean, she's been here as long as I've been coming here.
Yeah, no, I think. Because we were just trying to figure out the other day how old she was, and we really don't know. But it's definitely older than 5. And we got her just a few months after she was born. Alright, so here's how the show works. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people like yourselves write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. with little things, little notes, little comments, little topics, questions, things like that. And the hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifesting physically within the hat itself. And we, it's, as I already mentioned, Eastern German servants, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show. Do you remember that from the younger days? Like, that was a cultural joke. The East German judge, who always, like everybody else, is like 9 point something, and the East German judge is like 3.2 or something. Do you remember that?
No.
In like the 80s into the 90s, I remember that as like children's cartoons had jokes about that.
Nope.
Huh.
I don't remember.
Maybe it was just in my mind. I don't know. I feel like I shared that joke with some people in college, so at least some other people believed it was a joke.
So, St. Patrick's Day, I don't remember. Did you Do you have, like, any Irish...
Technically, Irish? Yes. Yeah. But I have a lot more Irish present. Because I have a 2% of my genealogy that is a mix of, like, four or five things, including Irish. Mm. But, like, the other 98%, all English. Mm. So mostly I'm about just ruining things for the Irish. But, however, I do not, and have not for ages, celebrate St. Patrick's Day in any form. Originally, because I was pagan, and it was kind of weird to be celebrating the guy who was responsible for Catholicizing Ireland. That was a little awkward.
Getting rid of all the druids.
Yeah, yeah. And just in general, pagans like to that's like the Burning Times is one of their, like, oh, see, we're an oppressed people. Because our religion totally wasn't invented in the 60s by some people who claimed to find some shit. Not unlike happened earlier with other people of Latter-day Saints. Anyway, was that me? Ezzy said all of that, I think. I don't even know. But anyway, so yeah, I was pagan. And now, not pagan, but I'm still just like, yeah, it's supposed to celebrate Irish heritage. It, especially in this country, is pretty much celebrating some Irish stereotypes and mostly binge drinking. And here's the thing. I don't particularly want to celebrate racial stereotypes. I'm fine with binge drinking, but I'm a goddamn grown-up. If I want to binge drink, I don't care what day of the month it is, or what time of the year, or what nationality I'm supposed to be parodying as I do it. I go out, I have money, I pay people to give me drink, and I binge it. I mean, you know... I'm like, I don't need a holiday, and I certainly don't need green food coloring to drink too much and make terrible decisions. I can do that anytime I want.
Well, you know, holidays in general are kind of odd thing for my family because most of...
Methodists celebrate by doing an extra shift at work.
No, it's not really a Methodist thing. Most of my ancestors, and I think this kind of went for my grandparents too, came from a tradition where they didn't really celebrate holidays, and not some of them. It was an issue of it being papist. You know, it's like, well,
yeah,
these are Catholic holidays. We're not going to celebrate them. But for most of them, it wasn't like that at all. It's just they just didn't celebrate
just not
them.
A thing.
Now
they weren't so much religious about it as just really boring.
Yeah, basically. And then probably I think both sides of my family probably around the middle of the 19th century when. Christmas started to become, it wasn't a Catholic thing, but it also wasn't a immigrant thing. Like, it wasn't just German. They'd secularized it and turned it into an American thing.
Yeah.
Having a Christmas tree, and Santa Claus also was this character that was an amalgamation of so many, like Father Christmas and St. Nicholas and all this stuff. So it became an American thing, not a Catholic thing. Or an immigrant thing.
The guy who lived down the road.
So when... When Christmas
trees, did you just get that?
When Christmas trees and Santa Claus became secularized, I guess you could say.
Merry Christmas, Belindas.
both sides of my family adopted it like everybody else, but that's it.
Welcome to the holiday Jesus thing, you know.
So from about 18,
we got trees and fat guys for your babies. Those like those.
So, from
ladies and gentlemen, the Americanization of Christmas.
From around the middle of the 19th century to my grandparents, if you ever peeked in on their homes throughout the year, you would see no decorations up for anything, not for St. Patrick's Day, not for anything, but you would see a Christmas tree.
Mm.
And then that's it. Maybe a wreath sometimes, but all year round, the only holiday decor that you'd see is a Christmas tree. Well, then, my mom, and it turns out my wife's mom did the same thing. It was the first generation where we had decorations in the house for everything all year long.
Let me guess. Other than the homemade ones that kids potentially bring home from school,
yes, other
they're
than
all made out of cardboard pieces hooked together with metal grommets so that the pieces can turn in relation to each other in various holiday themed shapes.
It's a lot of them, yes. Your dad also.
I remember that from my home. You just look on the walls and it's like, oh, look, it's a Valentine heart Tony made. It's a Valentine heart Tony made 3 years ago. It's some cardboard hearts that are hooked together with rainbows that are all hooked together with those fucking grommets.
Yeah, just various ways of decorating the house. Now, so your mom did it too, Valentine's Day?
Yes, but that's what I'm saying, though. It was right in the era that not only was every house decorating for the holidays, but they were decorating in the cheapest dime store.
No, that's true. And I don't think
if you go back a decade, it's all like the homemade ornamentation and
right,
all that.
And
I don't think
it's a coincidence that the kids, the crafts that kids were working on were built around these things too.
I think you might be right.
So
yeah, because it's like, you know, I stuck cotton balls to some construction paper, and look, it's Santa's beard, or it's a snowman. Sometimes I didn't even know which one it was.
Or the Easter Bunny.
You turn it upside down, it's the Easter Bunny.
Or shamrocks and turkeys for Thanksgiving. I mean,
from your hand turkeys.
Yeah, every single month it seemed had something. You know, you'd do Mother's Day and Father's Day. I mean, and that stuff would get put on the walls, but there were other things that you could buy at the store, and my mom did, and my wife's mom did. And so we grew up in a house that was, at least in my family, no other, on my mom's side or my dad's side, nobody else had decorated like that for holidays.
Yeah. I think it was like this weird phase where the baby boomers were trying to recreate, like, their childhood homes.
But my parents didn't have a childhood home like that. They just, like I said, well, Christmas trees, that's it.
No, but I mean, they just get dragged along with the rest of society,
I suppose. But then, now, in my wife and I, what we ended up having in our household was kind of a compromise, where we decorate heavily for Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
Okay.
And in fact, so heavily that the Christmas gets more decorations, but really just because of the tree. If you took the tree out, everything gets about the same amount of decoration.
Keep going, but I'm really making an interesting picture here.
But then nothing, like, we don't decorate for Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day or anything else.
So here's what I'm here's how I'm hearing what you said. In your house, for 12 months a year, everything simultaneously has a ton of just Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas decorations.
You know what I mean.
And you just leave it. No, but I love that idea. No, I know exactly. So you literally have a holiday season. 3 months where you have to decorate shit, and then you're out.
Right, but it's so weird because, like I said, before my mom and dad's generation, they never had anything in the house except the Christmas tree. Then every single month had something, and now we're kind of back to that except for Halloween and Thanksgiving, we'll also decorate for that.
Yeah.
So it's like we're meeting in the middle somehow.
Those are the good American holidays anyway.
Well, I agree, and you know, but
the only reason anybody ever decorates for 4th of July is fear that your neighbors will call you a terrorist.
So St. Patrick's Day was
remembers when Arbor Day is.
Was a big deal when I was a kid because Mom would decorate for it. And we, you know, you had to wear green.
Y'all Irish?
Well, I think I've talked about this before. The most Irish in my family, and there's some on Dad's side and Mom's side, is Northern Irish. See?
Okay. Oh, so you need to be wearing Ulster orange.
Or well, it's weird because the Rites came from Northern Ireland, and of course, we weren't Catholic Irish, and we also weren't. Mm-hmm. You know, the label people use is Scotch Irish, which means that before they were in Ireland, they were in southern Scotland or northern England. So they're not only are they not Irish, they're not like 200 years earlier, they weren't even living in Ireland.
Yeah. And traditionally, I mean, it's a recessive genetic thing, but they're all covered in a very weak adhesive. So they can stick to stuff, but it's easy to remove them as well.
But worse than that, Scotch-Irish are usually associated with Presbyterians, and my people weren't even Presbyterians. Mm. Ever. So
that I'm going to say that's the first time I've ever heard the phrase, weren't even Presbyterians.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, so, I'm just saying, this is a milestone in my life right now.
So a lot of people, if they knew my heritage and they knew that the Irish was Northern Irish, and on top of that, we've got good evidence to suggest that the Wrights came over after, because they were part of the United Irishmen who believed that the Protestants and the Catholics in Ireland should get along and join forces
of
against the British.
They were.
Against the British. So they weren't very popular with other Protestants and also with some other Catholics. And then in the late 18th century, when there was a failed rebellion, well, I think all of that came together, and that's one of the reasons why the Wrights, my line of Wrights, came over here. The line of Wrights that is in no way related to the Wright brothers or to Frank Lloyd Wright or any of the cool Wrights in American history. We're not related to any of those people.
Piper Wright, however.
Yeah, we're related to her. So we've got that, but also on my mom's side, where by blood, you know, the Northern Irish, most comes from her side. It's the Robinsons, and they lived in Virginia. They're the one grandfather Robinson that I'm particularly proud of. He came from Northern Ireland, and he was upset with his fellow Robinsons in Virginia because they all owned slaves. But he was against.
God damn it.
He was against that. So he introduced to that side of the family the notion that, hey, we shouldn't be doing that.
You just come from a long line of people in white hats, don't you? You're just like,
I'm proud of that.
I and you probably should be, but I'm mocking you for it. Because that's the thing. You just are genetically prepositioned to be good and nice and frustratingly kind.
No, I don't know about like, that. But
oh my God, you just come from a lot. This is genetic, is what I'm saying. You're genetic.
But the question, is there any Irish? Well, the Northern Irish in both those sides and both those circumstances. But, you know, some people, neither one of them were Catholic. Neither one of them were even Presbyterian. So a lot of people wouldn't even allow us to say we were Scotch-Irish because we weren't Presbyterians.
I feel like there's some bars around here that in a few hours we could go out and I could find somebody who want to beat you up over that.
Well, but again, it's ironic because since the Wrights came because they were probably because they were Irish nationalists, you know, I mean, they felt like they were Irish and they wanted to support the cause of a single unified Ireland and the Protestants and Catholics getting along. And so,
and most of the people in those bars want to feel like they're Irish.
So I have members of my family who really relate to and celebrate their Irish heritage in the spirit that they think that the early Wrights who came over would have. I don't have anything with like Ireland or anything on it, but some of my siblings do. They're very proud of it. The other big group in you were saying you were mostly English. Really, we're mostly English also, especially if you include Northern Ireland as English, which technically you should. And the other side is mostly Swiss.
As British or United Kingdom-ish.
Yeah, I suppose.
I was going to say, I know a lot of people in the United Kingdom who would beat the shit out of you if you called them English.
Right, but the Wrights and the Wrights and the Robinsons both probably, you know, they were all probably in, not even, they were from the borderlands, but probably the English side. And then they were shipped over to Northern Ireland. So, I mean, you see what I'm saying?
I do.
But the other, so we're about half English, and about the other half is a big chunk of Swiss German, and also
like Jarlsberg,
and also a Prussian, you know, like Hanover, Germany. That's also a big part of it there too. But Mom used to, she knew that the Wrights were from. I don't know if she knew they were from Northern Ireland until I figured that out. But she used to like to make a big deal out of the fact that we had some Irish. She liked to, you know, make sure we wore green when we went to school. I had a button that said "Kiss me, I'm Irish" on it and everything.
This is a thing. So, the rules of St. Patrick's Day: you're supposed to wear green. If you don't wear green, people are supposed to be able to pinch you.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
I remember this growing up.
Sanctioned bullying, I guess.
Yes, and it was a thing. Like, to the degree that, like, adults would do it. So, like, it was a thing. And as I got older, it was less, but it still happened. And in my mind, at least, I seem to remember during the period of my life when I have graduated from college and I am in the workforce, there were times when I feel like this was true. Nowadays, I mean, I still, people are like, are you wearing green? And I'm like, no. And sometimes I'll be like, if you pinch me, you're going to regret it. But, like, I literally don't think anybody in my workplace, even in fun, pinches anybody if they're not. And there's a lot of green, but not everybody. So what I'm trying to figure out here is, have the times changed, or is it just the place I work now?
Oh, I haven't heard anyone talk about
that in years.
Because
I would be flabbergasted if, even in play, somebody did that.
I haven't even heard anyone.
Are you kidding me?
I haven't even heard anyone mention it. I'm like, probably not a single place I've ever worked where people were showing up wearing green and everything.
I think it came up and applied. I don't know that anybody went through with it. But
really? I don't remember it ever coming up there. I heard about it when I was in elementary school, maybe a little bit, you know, through junior high and high school, but after that, I don't think I ever heard of it again.
Oh, no, it was a thing. But it was, I mean, most cases, it was very playful. Like, it was
not at all a hurting
pinch.
That's right. But I think there was even a time where I thought, well, maybe that's just something they did where I was from, and, you know, it's kind of a regional thing.
I mean, this is the thing I noticed recently at my workplace. I feel like I can talk about this because this is purely an academic question.
Okay.
I am not, for anybody who might be my boss who listens to this, I am not complaining at all. I have no problem. This is a curiosity, nothing else. So a coworker, like on the team I work with, at some point, like, she and I would interact and talk and we were having a good time. And at a certain point, I discovered that she liked touching me. Not at all inappropriately, but when we would talk or even pass it in the hall, she would inevitably put a hand on my shoulder or on my arm or something. Nothing inherent in that weird or anything, but just like doing it. And I couldn't figure it out. And I don't have a problem with it. It hasn't been a weird issue or anything, but I'm just like, most people don't do that. And it's odd. And she's from another country.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe it's a cultural
thing?
Because we're not, like, close friends or anything. I mean, we're totally just work associates and stuff. But we have fun. We joke around, whatever. Like there are people that I'm friends with at work that I wouldn't find that odd at all. Because I'm good friends with them, even outside work. But this isn't that. But just recently, I've discovered a different coworker has started doing this. And it's someone that in my head I sort of assumed they don't seem very physical with people. But she also has started doing this. And she's also from a different country. But not the same different country. But she's also pretty good, at least work friends, with the other one.
Oh.
And so I'm starting to try to figure out, is this... So now I'm wondering... Is this an individual thing? Is this a cultural thing? Or is this something in that group somehow? And I don't know. And again, no problem with this. I don't consider it inappropriate. It is. I observe these kind of cultural things. I'm like, most people don't do this. These people are doing this. And in the case of one of them, seems to have sort of arbitrarily started. I mean, maybe she feels like we're closer now or something. But I wonder about that. How did I even get on this topic?
I don't know.
Really? I just threw that out there for, like, no reason?
Yeah, I don't know where it came from. You just started by saying, well, I think I can talk about this. It's work-related, but I want people to know.
Really? Maybe it was Kiss Me, I'm Irish. I thought.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah, I... Mom.
I was like... Oh, no, because we were... No. This was... This made sense.
Okay.
We were talking about people pinching people and, like, they don't do that
anymore. Yeah.
I guess maybe there was a part I didn't say out loud, folks, where I was like, yeah, people don't touch anymore. It's weird, you know. People call HR if you touch or anything at this point. And then, it reminded me of this, which is just something I ponder sometimes.
Oh, okay.
I'm very conscious of that. And I'm a very physical person normally, like with my friends. I hug people, hello, about that kind of stuff. Not you smell, but other people. But I'm very conscious that I'm an enormous, tall man. and that can be very physically intimidating to people.
Mm.
And so I'm very conscious that in general I don't come into physical contact with people unless I feel that I have been given permission, essentially. Mm-hmm. And actually, I've had some friends that I've said, I've actually had a formal thing with them where I'm like, just so you know, because they were weird about it too, and I was like, you officially have permission to get in my personal space for anything not, you know, being an asshole or whatever. Like, you're allowed to touch me as you would normally a friend. You don't have to worry about that. And they're like, okay, you and me too. So now, like, we have no problem with that. But, yeah, I've had a few times where it's gotten down to that, where we, like, formally said, like, you officially are allowed. So, yeah. Fuck you all. It's not like you normally stay on topic. Roller derby tomorrow night. You guys should go.
Yeah, I heard about that.
We're going.
Do you have anything about your week you want to talk about?
Not really.
No?
Still playing shit tons of Fallout 4. The new lesson we have here, people, is that you can't always bombard.
Yeah, well.
Yes.
You mean you do that aerials, a lot?
I was. Because at a certain point, the game, I still die sometimes, but in general the game's not really hard for me because I have it set on very easy. So I started being like, I'll have fun with it. What are the fun combat things and stuff? And the artillery is fun.
Very fun, yeah.
I have discovered that even if I call for an airstrike and, like, no one dies from it, it's still fun just to watch. But it is a definite sometimes food. I learned this.
Like missiles.
In the space of, I'm going to say 12 hours, both of these things happened.
Okay.
First one of the many, 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 many settlement quests. So, oh, this is some super mutants fucking around with these people. All right. Seriously, I have cleared this particular farm of super mutants four times. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they keep coming back.
I know which farm you're talking about.
And it looks like a settlement. We should be able to settle it. Yes, and we can't. Does. God damn it.
There's plenty of crops there.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
It's
just
got
the
same icon.
I know.
On the
just
map.
The one. And it's a perfect one to send artillery to. Because
which is the thing. So I go this time, and I'm kind of sneaking, because that's a fun thing, too. I've got the deliverer that's silent, and I love to just sneak into places and shoot, like, clear out a whole factory, and no one saw me. I love doing that. But so I'm sneaking, and I'm like, you know, this is way out in the open.
Yeah, yeah.
It's made of wood.
Yep.
And they haven't noticed me yet.
There's not really much cover there.
Yeah. So I'm like, smoke grenade, and it's going. And one of them's like, "What is that?" And, you know, and then they start in the, "What is that noise? You scared like a baby?" And oh my god, so many times. And it blows the shit out of them. It's gorgeous. Everyone dies. And up in the upper left, it says, "Quest failed. Rescue kidnap victim from super mutants." And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was a kidnap
victim.
That's
why I was going here. Shit.
There isn't always a kidnap victim.
No, there's various reasons to go. Yeah. I forgot that this one, I was specifically rescuing someone who would be in the building, who therefore exploded. So then I had to reload.
If you shell that place, everyone will die.
It's awesome.
Including the person you're trying to rescue.
Yeah, don't do it then. But so later, more settlement shit. And there's a settlement way out there. Outpost whatever.
I know which one.
Out there. It's way out in the boonies. And it's kind of a shitty settlement, but I've tried to make it nice. Some of them just are. And some of them are enormous. Just the other day, I was putting turrets around Abernathy Farm and discovered that there was a whole second farm to Abernathy Farm.
Yeah, it's big.
That I was not there.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I had the farm, and then it turns out, oh no, the field that way for like a mile and a half is all you.
Yeah, it's long, it's big.
Like, holy shit, I didn't even know. But anyway, Outpost Zebra or whatever is tiny. It's like the shittiest little porta potty of a settlement ever.
And that's the one that's got some kind of a vehicle just down the road from it that raiders keep coming back to over and
you're
over.
You're reading my goddamn mind. Yes, this is what the story is about. Down the hill from there, there's a semi, and raiders like to show up there and fuck with my people. It's really annoying.
Really close by. I mean, yes. It's not far away at all.
It's super annoying. And I keep saying, I should blow that thing up, because I've got grenades. And if you put enough grenades in a vehicle,
it'll blow it up.
Sure. It'll blow, and the vehicle will blow up, and it's scary, and you will die if you are too close.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the Raiders are there, and we're fighting the Raiders. God damn.
With a turret in a shopping cart.
Oh, yes. Where do they keep getting them?
I don't know.
And it's weird, because every time they move back in, they're in the same place. Exact same
But
place.
It's so close. If this were anything like reality, like you said, you would get rid of that thing, or you would have someone else in it waiting for someone to show up and take care of them.
So,
instead
but
of letting
so
them camp there. Over
everybody's
and over and over
fighting,
and
I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I don't need grenades this time. I can call in the airstrike. And I got to do that.
Oh, man.
Well,
but all your people are there.
Well, that occurs to me right after I call it. But it's okay.
It is.
Because before the airstrike comes, they killed them all the Raiders.
Oh.
So they're walking back. So and I'm like, oh, thank God.
So you're just watching the show.
Well, I'm gonna. Mm-hmm. And the radio's always the general. We got your signal. Hold on to your butts. And the first one comes, and it hits the truck perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the shockwave off of it. Mm-hmm. And the shockwave hits one of the villagers leaving, and he falls over. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I get 17 experience for something. And suddenly there's a whole bunch of red dots on my compass.
Oh, no.
And in the upper left it says, Piper hated that. And I'm like, shit.
Just because you knocked one of them over.
I think he's dead.
Oh, no.
That's what I think the experience was for killing
him.
Oh,
no. Oh, no.
And the whole village was like, yeah, fuck you, and fuck you hard.
You can't blow up that truck, by the way.
Well, that's the final thing.
Which doesn't make any sense.
The final kick in the balls here is that truck won't blow up.
Which is odd, because in Fallout, and this is the same in the other games, too, when you see a car that looks to be in pretty good shape, means you can blow it up.
Yeah.
If it's in crappy shape, all rusted out, it's already been blown up.
And
so,
that one's nice. They got a whole thing in the back of that
right.
one.
Right, and in this game, it seems like you can blow up more vehicles. There are some you still can't blow up, but it seems like you can blow up some more vehicles. And this one is one you should be able to blow up, but you can't.
What annoys me is the shit in the settlements that you can't scrap for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes it's whole fucking cars. Anyway,
yep.
So then I had to reload that one. And then I had a different one, but I don't even know what I did that time. But I went to a settlement, and everybody's freaking out, and turns out one of the caravan, Doc Weathers, actually, is coming up, and he was fighting something legendary, glowing Deathclaw.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I panicked. Just so people know, Deathclaw, worst goddamn thing in the game.
Yeah.
Legendary means they're extra super hard. Glowing means they're also super radioactive. So I was scared. So I'm immediately just throwing everything I can, taking all the drugs I can, whatever. And I kill it, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Get a bunch of experience. I think I maybe even...
And it's a legendary item.
And I think the idiot savant thing kicked in. That was great. I don't know. But all I know is something went wrong. Because suddenly, it wanted me to select what settlement Piper was going to. And I was like, what? So I canceled out, and it said Piper's going to Sanctuary Hills. And I was like, what? And then it says Piper hated that. And then I look, and Piper's life bar is red, and she's coming at me with her gun.
Piper is attacking
you? And it says Piper hated that. So something I did down there killed innocence.
Oh.
I don't even know what, but at that point I was like, reload. But I don't even know what I did that time.
Huh.
Yeah, and then recently I did all the USS Constitution stuff, and I looked some of that up beforehand. Because do you back some nice robots, or do you back some shitty humans? You know, it's hard to say. So I looked some shit up, and it specified, it's like, during this fight, you probably should not use grenades or other area of effect weapons, because if you hit one of the opposing ones, they will all turn against you. And then it has a sentence, especially, do not use artillery fire during this battle. And I was like, yep. I feel you there.
Well,
by the way, the answer, if you ever have to side with robots or with humans, is side with the robots. Because you get almost exactly the same stuff, but you get slightly more stuff if you side with the robots. And also, the humans are goddamn assholes. If you side with the humans, you find them later, and they're like, we decided not to give you anything, and also to kill you. But we took a vote on it. So that should make you feel better. So you side with the robots. And then you get a naval cannon that you can carry in your hand.
Yeah.
Legitimately, the ammo for this is just cannonballs. I am so excited about this.
So do you ever send up a flare to have some of your Minutemen come help you with stuff?
I don't. And now, I'm not even sure I fully understand this, I've got signal grenades for a Brotherhood vertibird to show up and taxi me places, basically. Which is weird, because I'm like, I could fast travel. But I think you actually stay on it long enough to, that you could, like, shoot at shit from the air and things. Because I've done that.
Have you found the Chinese submarine that'll give you a transmitter you can use for the submarine to
fight? Ooh, no.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yep. There's a ghoul who is on the submarine who's, you know, a Chinese soldier.
Yeah.
They had their sub came in and got stuck there. So nice. You can help him out so that he can go back to China, but he's not leaving right away, so he'll give you
in the meantime, a
transmitter that if you toss it somewhere, he'll bombard wherever you put the transmitter.
But so it's one-time use?
I don't think so.
So you go pick it up afterward?
No, you've got a few of them.
Oh, okay.
But it might be when you run out, you're done. Yeah, probably. Okay. Probably. We haven't used them. We didn't even know that submarine was out there, but we just found it.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Any day now, we should get the first DLC.
Yeah.
Let you make robot companions.
Yeah, that looks very cool. We watched the trailer.
Oh, have you?
That's really good. It's really, really good.
I figure as long as I'm done by May, because May is when the actual story-related DLC comes out. So.
Well, we're not... I mean, we've been talking about, well, you know, should we wrap this up? Or, I mean, what's the next game we're going to get?
Yeah.
And we don't even... There's not really anything on our radar except for Andromeda. So I don't know if we're in a big hurry.
Well, there's a couple things. I would encourage you to poke around the store a little bit. On PlayStation Network, there's some interesting games. Trish and I have been doing that recently because we've been looking for co-op multiplayer that we can do locally. And there's a few. We're looking at Child of Light because Child of Light looks really cute. And apparently it was really good. And one person plays like the main character and does most of the stuff. But then there's a side character that plays like your little floating spirit companion who can like buff you and things like that. So that looks kind of cool. But yeah, I've seen a few things when I was looking around for that kind of stuff. I saw a few other games that I'm like, oh, like they have point-and-click adventure games and stuff like that. Yeah, me, of course, I have everything in the world. I've got the third Dragon Age. I've got two Assassin's Creed games currently. I've got Shadows of Mordor. I've got... there's another one.
Well, there is going to be another Dishonored come out. Maybe we'll play that. I guess I forgot about that. I don't remember when that's coming out.
People really like The Division. Which I wonder about, because it's third-person military, you know, sort of squad-based stuff, I think. And I've never played those kind of games, but... I really enjoyed the combat in the entire Mass Effect trilogy a lot. And I think that was a light version of that kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
So I've wondered if I should play those games. The tricky part, of course, is so many of them are first person, I can't do that. But like this and other ones are third person. So I've wondered about that. But no, I mean, I got so much on my plate. And that's once I finish this, which... I don't know. I did finally go to the Glowing Sea.
Oh, okay.
That place sucks.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. Trish was really worried. She's like, are you going to have to walk all the way back? And I'm like, no, fast travel. Like, not only do I not have to do that, if I want to come back out here, I won't. And I was freaked out because there were Children of Adam out there. And I told you I die sometimes. They are usually why.
Oh.
And the other times I die are when I don't successfully hit the Super Mutant Suicide.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta get him first.
I know the sound now. I hear the beep, 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 and I fight him. You gotta get him, you gotta target his right arm.
Yep. But usually...
Where are you, little one?
Usually you run into him at, what is it, Medford Hospital? Or
yeah, I run into them a lot there.
But there's synths there, so if you're not pals with them...
across the way there's that.
They're pretty much right there.
Yeah.
So we're pals with them, so they don't bother us. But
it scares me how accurate you are on this.
Well...
Yeah,
my wife has been there like 60 times.
Yeah. How many times have I had to clear out the goddamn Corvega assembly plant?
Yeah, exactly.
They just sent me there for something, and I'm like, I'm so fucking sick of this.
Yeah,
place.
Yeah, exactly.
What I love, though, is it's not just that bad guys have moved in again, but somebody has gone to trouble to, like, restock the first aid kits and put... 5 10-millimeter shells in that desk drawer again for some reason. This is another thing. People, I don't know if it was people in the 1960s or it was people after the apocalypse, but somebody's going around putting bullets in every conceivable thing that can hold three-dimensional matter.
Mm-hmm.
Every single box, desk, canteen, toddler, everything has bullets.
Now, see, in New Vegas, you made ammo. And it kind of made sense that you would have to make it.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this game, it's everywhere.
It is. Well, and it's been for all the Bethesda ones, which I guess is just one of
them. It's a little weird, too, like, though, because in this
I'm
game...
I'm like, who puts... Well, as they put the weirdest... Who put bullets in that fridge?
Okay.
Why did they put bullets
in that fridge? But here's another thing is they... This game really tries to... With the guns, they try to create the impression that, like, I don't remember this so much in the earlier games, and maybe I just don't remember it very well, but this game really likes to put early emphasis on weapons that are made from found materials like pipe pistols and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there are guns, and the first guns you get are not, like, guns. But I don't remember in the previous games them really going, like, you could just find guns. You didn't find, like, makeshift guns. I mean, there were makeshift weapons, but there weren't makeshift pistols and rifles.
No. Pretty much the entire pipe pistol concept, which is where most of that comes from, was brilliant on their part. Because they basically came up with how there could still be a shit ton of guns and a shit ton of different guns, even though we're in the freaking apocalypse.
Exactly. But...
It was really smart. And even, like, the rifle versions are clearly made out of a muffler
and
stuff.
But... That's exactly. That's brilliant, because they felt like they had to explain why there would be so many guns.
Well, and
so
it
what
dovetails
about
with their modification system, which this game more than the others is really about.
Exactly,
modifying. You actually can't make most things; you just modify things.
But by the same narrative logic, there shouldn't be ammo just all
absolutely,
over the place.
Absolutely,
and the ammo making thing they had in New Vegas, they should have in this, where you actually have to find stuff and figure out how to make the bullets yourself, because they're just not everywhere.
There's also bottle caps are the currency,
mm-hmm.
and those end up in places that make no sense, like places that have been sealed for hundreds of years and stuff like that. Like, who put this in here? But also, but I do love, and this is funny, if you ever find a cash register, odds are good you're going to find what they say called pre-war money, mm-hmm. which is just money.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you'll find bottle caps, too. And I love to imagine basically some lunatic was out there and didn't know what to do, so basically played store with themselves. Because nobody's been using that cash register as a cash register. But clearly somebody pretended to, because they put the current currency in there.
Right.
But they were smart enough to know that the other currency was useless.
Well, it also doesn't make sense that someone would make a bomb with the shrapnel being bottle caps when the bottle caps is currency.
Money. Yeah, it's a money
bomb. I mean, real currency. It's not like if someone made a bomb and put pennies in it today, you could understand, because pennies are worthless. But bottle caps are all worth something.
It would be like if somebody made a bomb in the UK and used pound coins.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't do that.
Oh, that would probably fucking hurt.
Probably.
It
would just be very expensive.
Yeah, I still can't figure out if it's a better deal to sell those or to set them off and collect the change.
Does that happen?
Yeah. If they go off, you can pick up the caps.
Pick up all the
it's
caps,
pretty
so.
Funny.
You have to blow it up, though? You can't just disarm it?
No. You have to set it off.
That's ridiculous.
And that's how I learned it, because I accidentally did that a couple times.
Because I don't... I mean... My wife picks them up all over the place, but I never saw them. She didn't.
Yeah, it might still be more cost-effective to sell them. I'm not positive. We're almost out of time, and I really feel like this people are going to hate this episode because either they have no interest in Fallout 4 or they haven't fucking played it yet, and we just spoiled a bunch of shit for them. So, welcome. 5 years of this, people. This is as good as it gets.
Stu asks,
Stu,
can you do the next 5 minutes of this segment in a language other than English? No.
Yes, I can. I'll do it in Welsh. Are you ready? Stu,
nope.
I want to thank you so much.
I keep forgetting. Is there a language you
speak?
For
allowing me a callback.
Well, that's a lot. That's from a long time ago.
The lamest goddamn joke in the history of the world.
But remember, it made me laugh like crazy, and I couldn't even stop. I don't even know why I thought it was Welsh. So funny, but I was just laughing like crazy. I felt bad even because it's like you're making fun of. I've got Welsh in my.
I've got history. No, actually, genealogy. I don't think I have.
I've got Cornish and Welsh, and Southern English. I've got just about everything.
There was a
English
years ago. Do you remember the show Third Rock from the Sun?
I never watched it, but I know what it
is. I didn't really watch it. I thought it was kind of dumb. And then, as with a lot of shows, I watched it in syndication. I realized it was more interesting than I gave it credit for. But there was a whole bit that went on for a very long time that involved, I assume, Jane Curtin's character attempting to tell John Lithgow, the head alien's character, that they were going somewhere. And somebody, Cornish Game Hen. Mm. So they were going to serve it, or they had served it, or whatever. Or talk about it, or something. I don't remember. But, and John Lithgow's character keeps hearing Cornish Gay Men.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's the bit. Ba-dum-bum. That's it. And it went on for like half the episode. And just the scene that was solidly about that was a good 5 minutes. And I'm like, I feel like this shouldn't be funny. Certainly not for this long. But it just constantly, like, and something magic about John Lithgow. Because somehow anybody else doing it, I would want to slap their face by now. But with him, there's just that frenetic sincerity. Why would I want to talk about Cornish gay men? Just constantly. Okay, what languages do I speak? Welsh, obviously, as we heard. Not so much English. I don't speak anything well.
I mean, what language did you study in school?
Well, there's a lot of them.
Oh, really?
As with musical instruments, I kind of did everything.
Oh, I didn't know
but
that.
But always just for like 3 days at a time. So, when I was very young, I did a couple of programs in Spanish that were like a day camp thing over the holidays or something. So, like, not serious, but did some stuff to learn Spanish. And then in high school, because I was really at the height of my obsession with Japanese culture, I took Japanese for 2 years, the result of which is now I can remember some names of family relations and some names of just random objects, so I can tell you, like, your little sister is a refrigerator, or, you know, your mother is an apple, things like that. Your older brother is a fish. And that's it. That's all I got from that. And then in college, I took French, but the problem is I took it second semester of my first year. And starting the next year, things got fucked up because basically there were very few of us that were taking second semester French in the first semester of a year. And so they kind of didn't offer it, and then they did, but there were only like 8 of us, and they called it. It was more going to be sort of review of the previous semester, but also the second semester, and it was just complicated, and I dropped it and never looked back. So I kind of speak Spanish, I kind of speak Japanese, I kind of speak French. I super don't speak any of them.
But
fluent in Welsh.
Took 3 years of French in high school, and then 4 semesters of French in college.
See, and that's the thing. At Grinnell, for an anthropology degree, you could either take 2 years of a foreign language, cultural kind of thing, you know, or, because we also had a big physical anthropology back, you could take stats one semester. Technically, they didn't specify. So my degree is in anthropology, same as everybody else. My degree's really in cultural anthropology. I took a bare minimum of physical ones, but I took stats, so I didn't have to take 2 years of a foreign language.
If I'd taken 4 years of French in high school, I wouldn't have had to take any foreign language.
You would just test it out?
There was a requirement, would have just not been there.
Okay.
But because I didn't take that fourth year in high school, which I don't even know why I didn't do that, I had to take it in college, and French was the only language that was offered in high school. And the only reason I did take it was because I was going to go to college. I knew I was going to go to college, and I didn't want to have to take it in college. And I must have had it in my head that I only needed 2 years in high school or something. I don't know. But by the time I got to college, you needed to have four. So, but you can just take fourth year French in college or four, whatever. No, I couldn't. I mean, three high school French was not going to equal fourth year French in college. So I basically had to start all over in college. And I never, ever did really like French. And so I did okay in the classes, you know, whatever. But I did what it took to get A's or whatever. But I think in college I was so uninterested, I probably was fine with getting C's in it or something.
Weird.
Because I don't remember putting in a lot of effort. And I'm not fluent in it as much as I should be for as much as I studied.
Yeah. My Japanese doesn't come up real often, although it does a little bit because two good friends of mine spent a year or two living in Japan and are also big anime nerds, and so it comes up just referenced. I'm like, hey, I know what that means and stuff like that. My Spanish comes up quite a bit because in this country Spanish comes up quite a bit nowadays, and also because my sister married a Mexican dude. Mm. That comes up a fair bit, but I don't know a lot of it. Weirdly, I have dated a succession of women, including my wife, that spoke enough French that we would kind of have conversations in Franglish, basically. She and I did it more back in the day, but... Speaking of which, my wife just came home.
Did you just call her a witch? That's not very nice.
These are my lifting shoes.
Two pair?
No, the other ones are socks.
Trisha got lifting shoes. We're back at the gym, and we're doing things a little different, and mostly we're focusing on weightlifting and strength training.
Oh.
Doing strong lifts.
She's insane. She's doing 5 reps of a 105-pound deadlift.
No, well, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't say 5 sets, 5 reps.
Yeah, 1 set.
Which would snap my spine in two. Like, I don't even understand that. Like, at my peak of weightlifting, I was doing 30-pound deadlifts, and it was still dicey for my back. She's doing 105 pounds. She's insane.
Feel the testosterone.
You missed me and talking in... You missed me speaking in Welsh.
No, she didn't miss it.
Yeah.
So, they're going to reboot Xena for television.
I heard that.
So I suppose you're going to go audition then.
That's why she's lifting.
To be Gabrielle.
No,
what?
To be Aries. Wait, no. That's
not her. He was hot.
Mm.
You know, you're not... He passed away. Did you know that?
Aries? No.
The guy who played him.
I did not know that.
He was not old.
This was not long after the show ended. I think he... Now, someone can look this up and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is he was inebriated and climbed up some tower or something somewhere and fell to his death. This was shortly after the show.
That's always... I find that interesting as far... Ooh, they totally look like wrestling shoes.
yeah, they do. Kind of. I mean,
well, which is sort of the plan. They're
Converse
they're supposed
basketball
to
shoes.
Yeah, they're just camouflage.
But... I always find it interesting. So celebrities die, and they frequently die in crazy-ass ways. Mm-hmm. They crashed their own plane, mm-hmm. or drugs, often drugs, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. At this club, whatever, they had beef, and somebody shot somebody. But every once in a while, they just die like everyone else died, and I always find that weird. It's like, oh, so-and-so fell off their bike and broke their neck, or, you know, or like something like this. Somebody was drunk and hit something or whatever. I'm always a little surprised when I'm like, oh, they're just like us in how they die.
Now, I heard that Xena is going to be like a continuation. It's not going to be a retelling of the original. So there's new characters and...
Well, Xena would have
I heard it was a reboot.
Oh.
That it was not going to be
that a doesn't look like your new phone.
No, this isn't my new phone.
But I...
You have your
I
new
mean,
phone?
I mean, maybe there's a lot of conflicting reports. I don't know.
That's a big new phone.
This is the little one. The Plus is even bigger.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you went up a version.
This is a 5.
That's a 6.
This is a 6S.
Yeah, you went up.
Oh, 6S. I did hear that they're getting rid of the subtext. They're not going to pretend that they have a relationship. They're actually going to have
one.
Oh,
okay. I thought you meant we were just like their business partners now. You know,
yeah,
you mean they're actually
going to. Yeah, he died in 2002 in Beijing. Kevin Smith, by the way.
Kevin Smith, wow. So many people named Kevin Smith. And weirdly, so many people named Michael Gross.
By all accounts, he was a real nice guy. I mean, and he played the role well, I thought.
Yeah, no, he was great. We're out of time. We should probably wrap this up. So, sorry to end on that sad note about Aries.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. I shouldn't even have known that, but I happen to know.
Yeah, how the hell do you know? All right.
Our household's huge.
So,
huge.
Everybody, have a good time. We will see you for 5 more years here. We're not giving up now, right?
You just promised them another 5 years?
Yep.
Yeah, but I promised a lot of shit, so if we don't do it, who cares?
Dude, you haven't even promised me another 5 years.
Yeah, no, we usually promise a year at a time, so.
Jesus Christ.
Baby, I promise to stay with you as long as we do this podcast.
Oh.
At least. Sorry, at least. I should specify. Our marriage is not dependent on the continuing existence of this
podcast. That's
kind of
what it sounded like.
No, but I'm saying, I guarantee you, I will be with you at least as long as I'm doing this podcast.
These are the days that we need video.
No, what it means is that if something happens and we get divorced or you die or whatever, I'll just stop doing a podcast.
We'll
be like, I promise.
Let's hope neither of those things happen.
No, I am not. see, this is where you get in that like online versus offline persona. I feel like online Tony gets me in a lot more trouble with the wife than offline Tony. Offline Tony's going to be really pissed. but anyway, to the rest of you people, 3.2 out of 10. Sorry. You were good listeners, but you didn't stick the landing. And we knocked you off for that. It's an earlier joke.
Also, the Russian judge.
No, it's the East German judge. That's what this is. Literally, see, thank God it isn't just me. I told you. That's a thing.
Okay.
That is a real thing.
You know, I don't know what things are. You know that.
And the 3.2 from the East German judge. Yep. All right. So, what we've learned here is I'm not crazy.
I don't think we learned that.
Maybe.
The rest, yes.
We're wrong in the same way.
We are wrong in the same way. Anyway, we're way over time now, so get out of here, people. Also, like us on Facebook. and come back next week is a big thing, but mostly get out of here.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.